The Lord be with you. A reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus has ordered them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Got to get my notes out here. Some of you, you may remember a priest we had years ago, Father Manasco, and how occasionally he would always try to start his homily off with a joke. Just a little something. Now, the ones that I have are not as funny as his, but he was a priest, and him being a priest, we were obligated to laugh at his jokes. You don't have to laugh at mine. But here's some that I came up with, and they're all Catholic jokes. So, I can say that amongst us. Okay. If your pastor walks in the front door and he's wearing a white dress, you may be a Catholic. If you want to get married, you have to go and you meet with the pastor or a deacon or someone else that's going to try to talk you out of getting married for the next 6 months. You might be a Catholic. Well, if you're going to have kids, well, you've got to give up at least one day of your weekend, more than likely a Saturday, to go and sit through and listen to a baptismal seminar that you've probably heard 1,000 times already. And if you've done that, you may be a Catholic. And once you've had your children, and this is for all you little kids that are not here tonight, you're going to start going to RE classes every Sunday for what will seem like the rest of your lives. And if you do that, you may be a Catholic. And then here's one that the pastor sets over there, and he's got a hat that right at first glance looks like he may have got it at Disneyland. And he takes it off and puts it on, takes it off and he puts it on, and he takes it off and he puts it on, and he puts it on and he wears it out. Then you are a Catholic. But the angel said, "Why are you just standing here looking up at the sky?" That's one thing that we can all do, no matter where you are. If you go out anywhere, you go out on the corner and you stand there all by yourself and you look up at the sky, I guarantee you people are going to stop and they're going to look up with you. The rest of them are going to be running into each other in their cars because they're going to be looking out the window wondering what you're looking at. But why are they just looking up at the sky? Well, Jesus is gone. He's been taken up to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And they said, "Do all the things that I have taught you to do." That's what you've got to do. Do the things I taught you to do. Just saying, Lord, Lord, is not enough. That's not enough to make you a Christian or a Catholic. You've got to keep his commandments. And you've got to practice mercy, practice justice. You've got to love your neighbor like you love yourself. You have to take that faith that has been taught to us by so many people over the years that I was kind of poking a little bit of fun of, but all of those things that we were taught over the years of our lives, once we walk out that door, that's not the end of it. That's the beginning of what we're supposed to do. It's when we walk out, we take what we have learned here, what Christ has taught and passed down through the generations and the thousands of years, we take that and we put it into action. One of my favorite experiences, this isn't a joke, this is something that actually happens to me and has happened several times. Where I live, there's a church right around the corner. It's Jehovah's Witnesses. God bless those people. I wish I had a millionth of the courage that they do. But anyway, they come to visit my house. For a long time, I thought that my statue of Jesus and Mary kept them from coming all the way up to the house. Well, then I put another statue of Mary right there in front in the flower bed. My driveway's like 400 feet long, so they have plenty of time to turn around. But anyway, they come to the house to do what we should do every single day. They come evangelizing. As many times as they've been to my house, and it's a few, I think what surprises them the most is not that I sick my dog on them, that it would matter, she's only about this big, is I say, please come in, have a seat, can I offer you something to drink? Tea, water, lemonade, soda, whatever. As long as I don't have to get up on top of the refrigerator, we're going to be okay. But they would come to the house and talk to us. And it was funny, my wife, most of you know my dear wife, she was a cradle Catholic. Her granddad actually built this church. And I would sit there and just kind of listen to them too. And kind of grin to myself. And if it was something that was really difficult, a difficult question, they would refer to the gentleman that was there, who I would guess would be an elder in the church or something of that nature. And anyway, the two ladies would look to him and go, well, Bob, what do you think of that? Well, it's like, and of course, my wife, Sarah, scamming through her Bible, you know. She goes, no, that's not what mine says. Mine says this. And I think the only thing that I offered to it was that once I said, Bob, I believe your theology is just a little bit flawed. Just a little bit. So we sat there for quite some time and talked, and they always leave literature for you. And it's like a little, almost like a little comic book. But if you read it, it's like a biblical message in there without really getting much into the teachings of their church. Well, this time he left me that book, and then he left me another book that didn't have any pictures in it that told all about it. He says, here, you need to read this, and then we'll get together. I said, hold on a minute. I've got hundreds of books all about the Catholic faith. And you've probably seen the little ones. They're about this big, and they're apologetics. I did not get the one that says how to answer Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and take to him. I got the basic Catholic 101 and said, here you go, Bob. I said, you read this, I'll read these, and you come over and we'll talk. It's been over a year ago and he has not been back. So, I don't know if he was afraid to come back or if maybe he seen something that touched his heart. Because I read everything that he gave me, and there were a lot of things in there that touched me in a different way, and were nothing like the teachings that we learn here on Sundays and in scripture and religious education classes or marriage prep classes or baptismal classes. You know, we do that. And I've always said to people when they ask, well, why did you have to go to RCIA for 9 months before you could become a Catholic? I said, well, nobody ever really told me exactly why, but I believe it's because our church wants you to know why they do the things that they do, why we believe the things that we believe. It's all right here. It's all in right here in these books, and we've got hundreds of books, but it's all there. But that, you know, like I said, him coming to visit me was something that in a way I actually looked forward to. That I enjoyed setting down. I really enjoyed listening to him and my wife kind of banter a little bit. But I enjoyed listening to him and expressing my opinion to him and my teachings from my church as opposed to what his church was. And I think the biggest one I had was, well, Bob, if your church is only going to allow 144,000 people into heaven, why are you out recruiting more people? I would be trying to get some of you to leave so that I'd have a better chance of getting there. But that's just me. But anyway, as I said, I could not do that if I had to. Bob and, you know, the friends that came him were so committed to their faith that they would go door to door, house to house, and share their beliefs. And that's the very last thing that Christ told us to do. The very last thing he said was, go out and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what we're supposed to do when we walk out those doors. Every single day we're supposed to do that. Personally, I can't even get my own kids to come to church most of the time. How am I going to impose that on a complete stranger? I hope and I pray that my actions speak a little bit louder than my words do sometimes. But I'd also have to be like, Christ is going up into heaven and he said, go out and do this. And for some reason I think if Peter was there, you know, Peter heard, you know, I mean, I'd think Peter would say, well, what's plan B if that don't work? Because it just seemed like he was impulsive and would say and do things sometimes that, like me, later on he would think, why did I say or do that? But what is plan B? What is plan B? There is no plan B. There is plan A, and that is for us to go out and bring everyone else into the church.